Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest. You've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil. Maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
You know, somewhere Andy Hart is in the Caribbean, feet up, fruity beverage in hand, thinking this is the life. He's going to come back and go, wait a second, I missed the biggest shooting fish in a barrel week of radio of all time with the biggest sports trade in Boston in at least a half a decade.
We have his response. He did text us the other night, Nick. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
So Andy's response last night to this trade was, Craig Breslow is the man. Show that fat, lazy, me first, no leading bastard who's boss. Heart out. Happy Father's Day to all.
That's not real.
Shows the That's human side right real. At the end.
That sounds like Andy to me. Yeah, I believe it. Unless you have AI Andy over there.
That was last night at 7:28.
Remember the one day where he was on Rafael Devers' side? That lasted, one day.
Look, guys, Raffy is a big brat. I just wonder
a huge brat.
How many Fall Guys do we have to go through before things change for the Red Sox? Because at this point, they're really tallying them up. And I didn't like Rafael at the end either. I don't know why I'm using his full name like I'm his upset mother. But I didn't like it at the end either. But at the same time, I'm just kind of past that reaction of get him out of here. Yeah, fire that guy. Yeah, because it's the same crap every year. And this season was supposed to be different.
It's not. hate to break it to you, but you wonder where all of this comes. Like, is this a John Henry thing? Is this a Sam Kennedy thing? Is this just a Fenway Sports Group thing? Like, I don't know. But every year they find a new something or other to, convolute matters and frustrate the fan base. They lead you one way and then they, bank a turn and when you're least expecting it. I tell you, Netflix picked the wrong year to follow the Red Sox. They were a year too early. Because can you imagine if the clubhouse was filming right now? Oh, that would be so juicy. Speaking of juicy tidbits, Dan Ball, do you happen to have that quote from, I first read about it from our pal Boston Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast, had it online. Do you have that David Ortiz quote on Rafi Devers and his disappointment in the matter?
As a matter of fact, I do. So this was shared via Jansen Pujols, who is a Spanish language journalist. David Ortiz said, quote, players need to take this as an example. Nobody is indispensable. You have to be available. That was the end of the relationship between Devers and the Red Sox. You need to be smart to understand the situation. Your worst enemy is your ego.
Ooh,
very poignant.
Wow, that is some enlightened perspective from a man who was super not good at playing first base, but whenever asked to do so, did so for his team. Granted, Mego, it wasn't for half a season. I don't know what the promises that that were made to David Ortiz happened to have been back in 2004, 7, 13, whatever. All I know is that he did whatever the team asked of him as well. And I thought Rafael Devers would have gone joyfully into the David Ortiz role, seeing, wow, this guy became a legend just being a powerful left-handed bat in the middle of a good order. Why can't I as well? And if they ever ask me to pick up the glove, so be it. I think that is the kind of petulance he displayed that leads people like me, as I did in my three-point stance last hour, to say, you know what, fine. Take your glove, take your ball cap, take your lousy attitude and fly across the country and go play for a different fan base.
Yeah, and David Ortiz isn't just saying that after the fact. Rob Bradford had him on Baseball Isn't Boring, and he was talking after spring training, after the whole Bregman meltdown that Rafi Devers had, that he had to put his ego aside. He used almost that exact phrasing, like, put the ego aside, just try it out. Try doing what they ask of you and then give the feedback. Don't just say no outright. So it's not like this is something that Ortiz is just saying after the fact and saying like, oh, and now Ortiz is speaking out. This has been going on for months.
Yeah, it has been going on for months. I guess they finally reached critical mass and they couldn't handle it. Do you really think, by the way, before we get back to the calls, do you really think Rafael Devers believes himself to be that good of a fielder?
I think deep down, no, but I think he's just prideful. He just is really proud about his position on the team, and he knows the contract that he was bringing in and that he was only 2 years into it. So he's probably like, you guys are bringing in this guy who used to work with Cora in Houston. And by the way, he's got so many outs on that contract, Alex Bregman. So like I was here first. I'm the face of the franchise. I should have claim to third base. I think that's how he saw it. Not even about like, he's better, I'm better. Like, this is, I was here first and I'm the one that's bringing in the money and everything.
Yeah, but also improving your defense and doing whatever's in the best interest of the team usually helps lead to wins, which makes long-term deals more satisfying. But what would I know? Just a guy who loves talking sports. And I want to bring in more of the good people of Red Sox Nation and WEEI. Like, oh, Nathan in Ipswich is back. There we go. Hi, Nathan. How are you? Don't do it to me.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
There he is. All right. What's up, buddy?
So I just want to talk about the situation with, like, the outfield and stuff. Like, what's your opinion on that?
Well, my opinion is that they should settle on one outfield and one infield for the remainder of the season if they can. Quit bouncing people around between second base, first base, DH, left field, center field. Is Rafael going to be a center fielder? Is he going to move to shortstop? Or second base? Where's the best spot to play Anthony? Where's Duran going to play? I just want them to pick a lineup and roll with it the rest of the way. I don't know how you feel, Mega.
Devers has to feel relieved because, remember, he said that he was worried that ownership was going to ask him to play the outfield next. So at least he's got that weight off his shoulders going over to San Francisco. I don't think they're going to be doing that out there.
Oh, no, but he just said wherever they want him to play, he'll play out
there. Is that real? I've heard, is that a real quote? Some of these, the new Twitter X,
Is that hogwash?
I don't know. I'll double check it now. I haven't looked at it since somebody sent it like an hour ago.
It could be a parody account. Sometimes we get, it's from Buster Only, not Buster Only.
Okay. All right. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm not sure
guys.
Who it's from, but it could very well be a parody. But I wouldn't be surprised if he says that. I doubt he'll be at first base when the Red Sox open a 3-game series at AT&T Park.
I hope he smacks a grand salami on us.
You know what? And I hope whoever's pitching plunks him right in his ham hock. I hope, you know, I've missed the days of Pedro just pointing at the head of Posada and being like, look forward to your next at bat, buddy. I got my eye on you.
Do you think there's going to be that much animosity?
I don't know how quite honestly, I have no idea how any of the players in the clubhouse feel about it.
I think these guys are just sick of it. And again, maybe...
Sick of the animus? Sick of the drama? Sick of Devers? What?
Sick of it, but I don't think they're like, throw at that guy's head. That's kind of a surprising reaction to me if that's what happens on Friday.
No, I don't think they'd throw at his head, but could I see them drilling him in the ass? You know, sure.
It's a nice target. It's pretty big.
Got him.
Are you proud of yourself?
What? You teed it up. What do you want me to do?
That's a broad target. It is. That's good low-hanging fruit right there.
And then you hear from Rob Bradford. Yep. You did. You did. You did hear from him yesterday. That man worked like 20 hours yesterday.
That's exactly what the trade announcement sounded like, as a matter of fact, when I read it.
Yeah, good job to Arcane and Bradford last night. I was tuned in the whole time.
Nice. Listen, we got the best. We have the best guys on it, my friend. Don't you worry. New England Sports Original always has you covered. All right, moving on. Tony's in Bridgewater. I always look forward to this guy's calls. Tony, how are you?
Hey, what's happening? You know, anybody was calling about the Mookie was a cheap out. Okay, Devers was not a contract dump. It was a Devers dump. This malcontent, that guy pissed me off so much. And I blame the Red Sox for this, for placating that bum and for giving a $300 million contract to a two tool player. Only five tool players get $300 million.
What's the second tool?
When they sign into that contract, he hits for average, he hits for home runs. That's it.
Okay.
These other guys, the Trout and the Mookie, they're five tool players, and you can add a six for Mookie because what's between his ears. There's no comparison with this stuff over here. Thank God that guy's, you know, gone, because all you did is clog up. You got a guy, he is a good hitter, but he's not worth that money to begin with. In 5 years, he's going to be a gimp. He comes in, oh, you know, look at the guy when he's running. I got to tell you something. The last time he didn't run out of ground ball, that was the bottom line. Like,
thank you very much for the call, Tony. I think he's talking about the now infamous non-legged out grounder to the pitcher against the Yankees in the Bronx last weekend as well. Was there a groin strain that he aggravated when he tried to jump back to first, and therefore he figured, well, I'm already out, so I'm not going to try to hustle down the line? Did that bother Cora? Cora said it wasn't a lack of hustle play, but you got to wonder, like, didn't the Red Sox trading of Nomar, didn't that happen shortly after the extra innings game where Nomar was pouting on the bench and Jeter dove into the stands to try to track down a fly ball? You remember the game I'm talking about, Mago?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're trying to look for, like, cause and effect, it pretty clearly seems to go back to the meeting in Kansas City. Like, that was the last straw. I asked Chris Cotillo a couple hours ago at this point, like, was that the first domino to fall and what would become the deal that we saw yesterday? And he's like, it was the last one. The owner flew out there to have a one-on-one with Rafi Devers and say, can you please just do us a solid? And he was like, nope. And that's it. My question is just, like, why does it then take over 5 weeks to put together a deal that's as lackluster as this one that you get in return?
How about this? Okay, so now we have confirmation. This freaking guy. We now have confirmation thanks to a piece by Timothy Rapp in the Major League Baseball section of Bleacher Report. Yes, and this is properly sourced. Dan Ball did his due diligence during Tony from Bridgewater's wonderful rant. Get this. Here's a quote from Buster Posey indicating Monday that Devers could play in a number of roles for the team after Sunday's stunning trade. Quote, there's the possibility to play third some with Chapman out to get some in at first and DH. By all accounts, he's a winner. He wants to do what he can to help the team. Obviously, there was some back and forth with him and the Red Sox, and I don't have all the details of where things went sideways, but he's excited to be in San Francisco and help our team win. How do you wear that one, Mego? How's that one suit you?
We'll see how long the honeymoon lasts. He's happy now. We'll see what happens when they ask him to do something that he doesn't feel like is in his job description.
Is this all on Bloom? Wasn't it Bloom, Mego? We talked about this on Friday a bit, too, as well, from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Wasn't it Bloom who said, oh, when you sign this deal, yeah, you're our third baseman of the future. You can play third. We're not going to move you around.
I mean, allegedly, that's what Devers said that he said. We don't know that he made that deal.
But why would he ruin?
Why would Devers exaggerate that? Because it's what he wanted.
Seemed pretty adamant about it.
Yeah. And then, by the way, Cora's response was, yeah, that guy's not here anymore.
And that was the right response.
Two guys making a deal for the Red Sox who are no longer with the organization.
Okay, well, obviously there weren't a lot of people in the organization standing up for Rafael Devers. However, our friend John in the truck would like to. John in the truck, what up?
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I absolutely wanted to stand up for Devers. You know, he had a contract, right? We all know. None of us have any idea what the details are in that contract. But if they had a contract provision that said you will play any position we tell you to play, and he signed it, you know what I mean? Then I would say that's fair enough to make him do that, right? But if they don't have that kind of clause in the contracts, the players really get to control their lives now and dictate how they will be handled and managed and unbreakable contracts, then good for him for standing up for himself that that's what he wanted to do. Would I have liked that he would have put the first baseman's mitt on and gone on and played like George Scott?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, the call was just fine up until that point. And honestly, that kind of language is usually warranted. I'm sure a lot of us said worse otherwise. But thank you, John. I appreciate the call. I doubt many players, Mego, have language in their contract that says you will only play third, or you will play where we tell you, or, you know, it's just you're it like, aren't they just usually you will play? I don't know. I don't read a lot of these deals. I barely have enough time to read my kids' books at night. I don't have time to read 30-page contracts that say you'll get paid X amount of dollars to play for X number of years for this professional baseball team.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of contract looks like that. I think it's usually just a given when you're making that much money that you look at the situation and say, I could probably do this for like 2 weeks and then we'll see where we're at. But again, maybe that's just a given. And if he had a conversation with Chaim Bloom years ago where Chaim Bloom said, we see you as our third baseman is the future, I'd also say maybe then improve a lot more at third base because your defensive numbers were terrible. So
you weren't good at it.
You had so many errors. Like, get better. And otherwise, you're going to get replaced because you turn into a hole on the field.
Yeah, he was a liability at third base. He was the worst defensive third baseman in the American League last season. And for that, the Red Sox went out and found a better team leader who had no problem being a vocal representative of the team and what they were trying to do this year, who also was better. Yes, I know he made a couple of errors in April, but Bregman was a much better choice defensively at third base, a gold glove winner as well. And now they told Rafael Devers, hey, we may need you to play some first, but you can put your glove away for now and hit. And all the sore pride it's just so silly. It is just so silly. I'll tell you who may have an idea, Mego, about the language in baseball contracts and how that works. Our pal Lou Merlone, who we'll be speaking to in just 10 minutes time here on WEEI Afternoons. Okay, we got time for one more quick call. Here we go. You'll love this, Mego. Nick out in Palmer with a basketball trade comp involving your guy, Endeavors. What's up there, Nick?
Hey, guys, thanks. Yeah, I love the show as always. Fitzy, big so. Nick energy. Yeah, Mego, love you, but about an hour ago, I don't even remember the context because I get nervous on hold. You brought up Marcus Smart. Now, I've been thinking since this all blew up in spring training that Marcus Smart could end up being a really good comp for this. He was with the Celtics for a long time, and when he got traded, there was weeping in the streets and on the airwaves. But to my recollection, revisionist history, if we win, when he was actually with the team, the discourse around him was, okay, one DPOY, but it was a lot of bitching about shot selection, right? Like the whole, you know, the Derek White putback was off of Marcus Smart brick, right? So we were all really sad when he left, but we didn't love him while he was. And once this started unfolding with Devers, I was like, huh, what if trading him is actually like, well, I'll win about it, even though we're complaining now, we're all going to cry and pretend like we miss him, even though we don't want him on the team right now, but it could actually be the missing piece. Now, the difference, obviously, is that for Marcus Smart, we got Kristaps Porzingis. We didn't get anything close to Porzingis for this. My crackpot conspiracy theory is Willie Abreu's quote-unquote oblique strain is really a corporate mandate Fenway flu, and that he's getting ready to get out as well, and that's cleared the runway for that. Who knows? But I don't love the optics. I don't love the time. I don't love the return, but as much as you need to factor in the organizational side of how Devers was treated, I still think trading Devers was the right move.
I think that's a fair comparison.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate the call.
In terms of the polarization that both athletes had with the fan base, but I think you said it right there, Nick. Like, you got Kristaps Porzingis, and this wasn't something where they were so fed up with Marcus that they were trying to trade him for 4 months. It was because they were trying to trade Malcolm Brogdon for Kristaps Porzingis, and in the 11th hour, they couldn't execute that trade with Washington, so they ended up having to dangle Marcus Smart out there. Like, that's right. that you got a tremendous piece back, and unfortunately that didn't pan out exactly the way that you wanted it to, but I don't think in that sense, like, yeah, they're both polarizing guys to a lot of people, but in the sense of the return, I don't even think it's comparable.
Are the Red Sox done making moves? Could they ship more people out of town? Could they have their eye on some other major league caliber players to come in now that Rafael Devers will be playing first, third, maybe pitching relief like Kike Hernandez and more for the San Francisco Giants? Did it have to happen now? Is that all they could have gotten? And who are the guys that they got back? That and so much more. We'll ask all these questions of our good friend Lou Merlone when he joins us in just moments here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we have to catch you up on everything trending in the wide world of Boston sports and beyond.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Drain whatever. Yeah, it's just a completely different... There's no more hope.
I think I know more now.
This thing ain't freaking lasting.
All the way across the country, the Pacific Northwest, where your Boston Red Sox are set to do battle this evening against the Seattle Mariners. He'll be on the radio call here on WEEI and the Red Sox Radio Network alongside play-by-play man Will Fleming, who had himself a weekend and a very emotional Father's Day as well. Speaking of emotional guys, it's the one and only Lou Merlone joining Fitzy and Mego on WEEI Afternoons. Lou, what the hell, guy?
Yeah. First off, hello, Fitzy. Hello, Mego.
Hello, Lou. Thanks for joining us from the other side of the country.
Yeah. No, this is still in processing mode. Still talking, trying to figure out what went down here. All I know is that it was funny. We were sitting on the plane, and I remember at one point looking over to Obi and Will, going, "What are we still doing here?" You know, usually we get in the plane, things get boarded, and we take off. And I'm like, "We've been here for like an hour. What is going on?" And then like a couple minutes later, the kind of thing, everything broke, and I was like, "What?" I'm like, "Wait, what?" Like I thought it was a joke, but. Which made for an interesting, you know, 5.5-6 hour flight across the country. So, I think it stunned everybody. I would say.
Yeah, I gotta ask Lou. So when you're looking around the plane at the rest of the passengers, what was the vibe? Was it like, hey, let's just put our headphones on and stare at something on your tablet?
No, I mean they're human too. You know what I mean? It's like obviously they're gonna kind of. Talk to one another, a lot of people in the aisles, you know, kind of talking. So I think everybody was just sort of trying to figure it out. I mean, I'm hearing reports now that maybe these discussions are going on for a week or so, but obviously that's not something that's going to get public, that's going to be discussed at all, given who's involved. So I think it just shocked everybody. You know, I don't know if too many people saw it coming.
Yeah, so you were in studio a couple of weeks ago with Andy and Ted and Will in advance of the call of a game, and yep. Fleming was intimating that there was going to be a big change coming in the next 5 to 7, maybe up to 10 days. And here yeah. It comes. So now he's the prophet of Red Sox Nation, Lou.
Yeah. I don't know if this is what he meant, but if it is, good for him, because this is a big one.
This is his white whale for sure. But if you were given, you know, the biggest thing to me, some people are more, you know, aggravated about the return. Some people just love Rafael Devers as well. To me, the thing that threw me off the most was the timing, you know, and not just like pulling him off the plane and putting him in an Uber and having all the awkward sound bites and the tweets the Red Sox social put out yesterday, but rather you're playing your best baseball, arguably, of the season. You just gave up 4 runs on the hole over the weekend to the Yankees. Devers went long. You got 4 in a row. You got a winning record again. The vibes were starting to feel like they were back in place, and this was even before Bregman returns. And now you just upend the entire apple cart.
Yeah, I mean it's like short term. There's really no way to sugarcoat it. You know, I mean short term, you just lost one of the most dangerous hitters, you know, in the American League, maybe in the game. I mean, it doesn't not make you better. And I think that, you know, everybody's sort of feeling good and the way they've been playing lately. And the other thing too is, you know, maybe is it all over the fact that he wasn't willing to change positions, but we almost got to the point where we're like, you know what, like Toro and Romy Gonzalez, like they are doing their thing. Like those guys are absolutely raking, covering first base. We're fine here, right? Just keep him at DH, do your thing. And maybe in the off season, talk to him about moving into a position next year. Who knows, right? So, but it was almost like accepted at this point that everything's fine, you know, because these other two guys are hitting. So, yeah, it's like you're starting to feel like, okay, things are turning around, you know, and feeling good. It's almost like we're just not, you know, we're not allowed to enjoy nice things, you know, or good feelings. I don't know.
Lou, do you have any sense of what maybe Alex Cora's involvement in the discussions that are being reported that were going on over the last week, or even just how he's feeling about this trade?
Yeah, I don't know like how he's feeling or his involvement in it. I do know, I think it just got to the point where the whole first base option to him, I think because of what the other guys are doing, but more importantly, just, you know what happened? It was like, we played Texas and Josh Smith was at first and Romy was at first and he was a mess and there was collisions and Romy got hurt and it was just a mess at first base for the entire series at home. And it was almost like that point, you're like, you know, guys are going down, guys are running into one another. And it's like, if I lose Rafi Devers, what's going to happen to my offense? And so if there's a slight chance he gets hurt at first, I'm not willing to risk it because without Bregman, I don't have him. I don't know what I got. Well, here we are. We're about to find out because it wasn't an injury. It was a trade. So, yeah, I don't know the involvement of where he's at right now with this.
Yeah, we'll get a chance to ask him tomorrow when he joins us on the afternoon show, Lou, at 5:30 p.m. Eastern,
sure.
Which is, and how about this, Lou? Conveniently timed, that's the exact same time that Rafael Devers will be doing his introductory press conference as the new member of the San Francisco Giants, who, by the way, has said he'll happily play any position the Giants ask him to play.
Yeah, I know. The whole thing is... you know, I think I do. The Red Sox, to me, in the offseason, you know, obviously could have handled this a lot better. You know, they could have discussed it. They could have talked to him. They could have just, you want us to get better. They're really the only areas we can get better are probably at third base. If we do happen to sign these guys, we could move some people, move you around or whatever, right? Well, that didn't happen. And I think when it got to the point where he, you know, was upset, not willing to move, I think everybody sort of tried to talk to him and it wasn't going anywhere. But you got to admit, like, this thing kind of went south on your own doing. And the fact you couldn't clean it up kind of brought us to this point. So it's tough. You know, it's like I said, short term, this is always the reaction of a trade, especially when it doesn't, like, solve everything. Like, you cleared out all this money. Like, San Fran is probably the only team that would take on all this money because nobody ever wants to sign for San Fran. They try to give up money. Nobody wants to play there. So they have to trade for the talent, and they're willing to pay for it. So you get out from underneath the contract. Right now, it looks awful, like, as far as short-term goes. And the issue is you go and say, okay, how are they going to reallocate that money? And that's where they don't have a fan base backing them or believing in them right now. That's the problem. Because around baseball, you know, people are like, hey, they got out from underneath the contract of a DH. He's a great hitter. They got some promising arms. I wish it was more established arms. But now let's see where they go. Where do they put the money? In Boston, you're like, I don't trust them. Like, that's just the issue. That's been the problem for the last few years. So right now it doesn't look good. Could that change? I don't know, at the deadline? I hope it's not the winter. You know, I hope they're aggressive at the deadline and give this team a little shot and give them another bat.
Yeah, Lou, what you were describing is kind of how I'm feeling about the whole situation. Like, understanding that it's untenable with this particular player and the relationship has devolved so much, but how are you supposed to have confidence that they're doing something for the major league team? And we went into this season being sold that, hey, this is when they're actually buying in on the major league team and the young kids are coming up. Like, do you see any indication that that is still the feeling from the front office and from ownership, that they're still, I guess, trying to go for it? Or does this change that?
Yeah. I think what they do next will tell us, right? I mean, listen, if this team kind of struggles offensively, loss of Rafi Devers, and in the next 2 or 3 weeks falls out of this thing and they decide to sell all these pieces, now it's like, that's going to be a tough sell. And say, listen, be patient. 2026 is going to be awesome. You know, it's like, that's just a tough sell, like, given what has been going on. But at the same point, like, you know, basically what this is the team comes first. And we have a player that we pay an awful lot of money that wasn't really willing to work with the team, that wasn't really willing to do what the team wanted. So you could make the argument that with such a young roster, those guys just learned the business really quick. you know, those guys are like, holy smokes, we just traded Rafi Devers because he wasn't willing to put the team first. So they may have sent the right message to a young locker room, but you still want to go out there and win ball games, and you want to put the best team in the field. And it's hard to say that without having Rafi Devers out there. But, yeah, so it's interesting. it's definitely interesting. But I think the next move, Mego, will tell you more. If they start selling pieces and say, be patient, the young kids are here, that's, I don't know, it's been a long time for that, right? It's been going on for a while.
Yeah, since like 2021, 22.
Since yeah. Mookie, but yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Lou Merlone from tonight's Red Sox broadcast on the WEEI Red Sox Radio Network alongside Will Fleming joining WEEI Afternoons with Nick Fitzy-Stevens and Miss Mego, Megan Ottolini. Lou, here's a big thing. You know, I'd love to, you know, talk about who the Red Sox could go after. Is there a first baseman, a power-hitting righty in the outfield or something they could grab somewhere? I don't know. I mean, we have time to process that. Now, though, we're in the immediacy. We're still sort of in the radius of the bomb blast of this trade. And my big question I have, I like the idea that you just said, hey, this is like what Ortiz said. Don't let your ego get in the way. Sometimes that ruins things between athletes and teams. And this could send the right message to all the young kids because the youth movement is officially on right now. And I hope all those kids get to stay up. But do you think this potentially creates a credibility or a trust issue going forward long term with both not just your fan base, but the players on the team and any players that could potentially come to Fenway?
I don't think the players, you know what I mean? Because I think as players, you sort of sit there and it's like they obviously know they're a better team with Rafi Devers in the lineup. But I think all those guys in that clubhouse would be willing to do whatever it takes, you know, to kind of whatever the team asks. Now, those guys aren't Rafi Devers. A lot of these guys are young or utility players that's been their whole career, whatever the team asks. As far as trust in the fan base, I think we're past that. I think it's up to them. Trust has to be earned. And I think it's up to them to go out and make some moves to kind of create that trust. You know, that's the weird part because it felt like the fan base is starting to really kind of get into this team the last week because they're playing good baseball. So when it comes to trust or guys around the league, I don't think that's a big issue. I just like to see them kind of quickly move and just sort of put it together so we can, you know, at some point hopefully you sit back and you're like, oh, okay. You know, by doing that, this is what happened. It's just that hasn't really happened in the past. You know, by losing Mookie, you're able to what? Re-sign Xander? That didn't work. Oh, re-sign Devers. Good. Year and a half, two, he's gone. You know, or it's sort of all this stuff you're waiting to for the next shoe to drop so that everything sort of makes sense. And sometimes it does a month or 2 months later. So you're just sort of waiting for that moment. And hopefully it happens.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, if we get a chance, we can catch up with Lance Dobbins and he'll tell us that he saw this move coming a million miles away. It was a fun weekend, Lou. I can't believe we're not sitting here talking about, can you believe what an epic game it was Friday night or how well Dobbins pitched and Bayo looking like baby Pedro. Instead, we're like, you know, exactly. Any final thoughts? What's your one walkaway memory of Devers, Lou?
I would just say him versus the Yankees, and that's the other one. You know, it's like he was such a big game performer. You know, like he just owned the Yankees. I mean, let's face it, Gerrit Cole consistently for the most part has been the best pitcher in the American League, you know, for the last whatever, how long he's been in it, right, with the Yankees, whatever it's been. And he's owned them, you know, in the postseason. Devers, you know, was an absolute beast, you know, these sort of things. But it's, I don't know, I think it's funny because he's such an interesting guy. And you look back at the last 6 months, and obviously we're Boston, we're reactionary, but we're also can be hypocritical at times because nobody wanted him at third because he's the worst third baseman in baseball. Then everybody wanted him back at third base. And the minute he refused to do some of these things, everybody just said trade him. And now that they've traded him, those same people are pissed. But I'll always remember, I've always wanted him here because I wanted him to hit. You know, he's just one of the most dangerous hitters in the game when he steps in the box. And there's not many guys you can say that about, but he has presence. So he'll be missed. He'll be missed. But here's the good news. I get to see him in like 3 or 4 days.
There you go.
That should be an interesting weekend.
Well, tell him we said hello. I'm sure he's going to miss us just as much. You can, of course, follow him for hopefully he'll find a dog that he can walk and provide some more of his great dog walk intel on the web. Somebody loan Lou a dog, for God's sakes. I'm sure you can. I know.
I'm looking for one out here in Seattle. I'm sort of pausing the walk right now to kind of hopefully maybe tomorrow morning I get some more info today. Let's see. You got some press conferences going on. We'll go from there.
Give him a follow. Of course, you can watch him on Nesson, and you can hear him with Will Fleming on the broadcast tonight on the Red Sox, WEEI, Red Sox Radio Network. The great Lou Maloney. Thanks for taking a couple extra minutes on a very busy, very in-demand day, Lou. We always love the insight and the analysis, my guy.
You got it. Anytime. You guys have a great day. It's good talking to you.
Great. Thanks,
you too.
Lou.
Stay safe, buddy. Be good. Lou Maloney joining us from Seattle in advance of tonight's Mariners Red Sox game. Of course, Lou will also be out there for Friday night's going to be a scene, Mego. That is, that's big theater Friday night.
Yeah, I just wish it was happening at Fenway.
Show trip?
That would be the absolute funniest.
Show trip. How many baseball parks have you been? I know we got to catch a break. How many baseball parks not named Fenway have you been to, Stiz?
None.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I guess the next one we take you to.
There's only one that matters.
It is kind of crazy that they saved this for, I think, what's a season-long road trip. You know, you knew you were going to be away from Fenway for 10 whole days before you got the Bronx cheers after the Devers deal.
Cowards.
Yeah, and remember,
something
guys,
to add to the soup of all this.
Yeah, and no, it's. I think it's fascinating. And when we get to at 5:30, we'll do the Fitzy Five. This week, it's on the five most shocking trades in Boston sports history. One was made with a return match served right up within a week's time as well. We'll get to that. That's a tease, Stiz, we call those. No big deal.
Good job.
Thank you. Okay. 617-779-7937. We see that the lines are still jammed up. We'll get to all your calls, react to some of the things that Lou offered us, and get ready for the 5 o'clock power hour. Rafael Devers traded to San Francisco. No longer a member of the Red Sox. How do you feel? Stiz, ball game. Mego and Fitzy are here for you on WEEI Afternoons.
Great story.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
The conversation we have is unloading that contract to them. In their eyes, is that the best deal possible? Because I think it was. And, you know, what I've been told is that there was another deal where they were taking on some of the money. I do not know what pieces were included within that particular deal that was vetoed by John Henry. And the reason it was vetoed is because they had to take on money.
Oh, there's a new little tidbit from our pal Jeff Pontus for Baseball America. There was another deal on the table and John Henry swooped in and said, "No, I don't think that will be our deal." Because the Red Sox had to take on money as opposed to getting full freight picked up by another team. Mego, you are making either pouting at the birthday party face or I call shenanigans face. Which one is it?
I am hoping for their own sake that the return pieces on that deal look like the return pieces on this deal. Because if it's just about another team not eating Rafi's contract or them having to take on more salary and the pieces of that deal, if it comes out, look like legit MLB players, then you're going to have a world of hurt on your hands. Like, it's one thing to trade a player that is openly insubordinate. And so a lot of the fan base is at the point where they go, well, I get it. He's bad for the clubhouse. They got to the end point with him. He wouldn't move. But if they find out that there was a deal that was better for this year's team, mm-hmm. you're in trouble. You are in trouble in that scenario.
Yeah, as if things aren't already going poorly enough for the Red Sox with the online fan revolt. a story from Fox 25 that Fenway workers are so tired of the conditions and the shoddy pay that there's now going to be a strike lobbied against Fenway Park by its workers. To top it all off, if this that Jeff Pontus was just referencing moments ago gets out and find out like, oh, wait a second, there was a right-handed power-hitting first baseman that another team was willing to throw in.
Golly.
And a gasoline throwing reliever. I'll pull a full Ted Johnson on that one and be like, you out of your mind? Like,
are you out of your mind?
Yeah, seriously, Ted, like people will be, they'll lose their minds, Mego. Like,
Ed, I want to know that deal now. You can't, now I know he says that he doesn't know the details. I don't really believe him.
Yes,
I wonder
he does.
If he knows the details.
Those Get a details burner, Jeff, come on.
Out. Those details got to come out.
I need deets. All right, well, we effort those deets. Back to the phones we go. Hey, our old pal Danny in Rhode Island is on the phone. Danny, let's talk some Devers, kid.
Yes, hi. Thanks for letting me take the call. So obviously the main concern here is trying to offload somebody with a cumbersome contract that doesn't really fit the shared vision of the team. But my initial reaction was kind of different when this happened. So I've been looking closely at the MLB deadline rumors and certain pitchers that are available, seeing that as our largest need. Four of the big names that keep popping up are all in the NL West. Got Dylan Cease, Zach Gallen, Michael King, and Roberto Suarez. All those people are on teams that are on the cusp of a wild card spot. Perhaps we're in a situation where the Red Sox thought to themselves, if we could simultaneously get a tepid youth load, offload this contract, and foist the situation upon these other two teams where they become sellers, and perhaps we could pry a true ace in Dylan Cease off of the Padres' hands. By the way, in the last 48 hours, the Dylan Cease rumors have really kicked in. Perhaps that's the reason why they put him in a situation to do some damage against some NL West opponents. I don't know. This is wishful thinking,
like,
and me trying
agent.
To see the best. Yeah, this is me trying to see the best in man Breslow, who I think is really kind of grasping for his job at the moment after this.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dan. Talk about someone who has had the ultimate up and down year, Mego. Breslow, like, 1 minute, it's like, who are you and what would you say you do around here? You know, Keith always calls him Heimblum with a curveball. Then he makes the Bregman deal, and everyone's like, Breslow, Breslow, Breslow. And now, guy's Q rating in town couldn't be any worse.
Yeah, it's almost like it's not really about him. Look, I'm not going to say that he doesn't have agency in these moves. Of course he does. Like, yeah. He's not just a stooge there. But I think when you go back to the May 9th meeting and John Henry is physically flying out to Kansas City and meeting one-on-one with Rafael Devers and the situation doesn't change to his liking, that tells you everything you need to know.
617-779-7937. If you would like to jump in on Dan's line, not sure if we have any other available lines right now, but we will keep trying to get to all you good people, the Fenway faithful, and your frustrations, intermittently some satisfaction over the dealing away of Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants for three pitchers and an outfielder that none of us had ever heard before today as well. Could there be some other players the Red Sox are pursuing, like pitchers out west, first baseman, outfielders? We will try to figure that out in our fourth and final hour. 5:30, the Fitzy Five, the five most shocking trades in Boston sports history. Disclaimer, last 100 years. All that and more coming up with Dan Ballgame, Stiz Grimy, Megan Ottolini, and your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens on WEEI Afternoons.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.